Exodus chapter number 12, the book of Exodus chapter number 12, two verses of scripture there. Then also put your finger over in Philippians chapter number 3, we'll get there in just a moment. Trust everyone had a blessed new year. Appreciated the testimonies from the services and those that were filling the pulpit while I was away. And I tried to preach you happy last Sunday morning that they may not even have to do any work while I was gone, but I guess I failed. We didn't get there. So we'll try it again this morning. But I'm happy in the Lord, aren't you?
Amen.
Amen. Could God be any better to you than He has been? Really? I thought about that question this week. Could God have been any better to me than He's been? Then why am I waiting for Him to do more for me? It seems like there's a prevailing attitude as if we're waiting for God to do something for us. But He's already been better to me than I could ever imagine. I've got to catch up on my praise and my worship to the Lord. Amen. Amen. So this being the first Sunday of a new year, I want to talk to you kind of along those lines. And then next Sunday morning, start talking about the glory of God. And maybe a few weeks about you and I pursuing the glory of God, the presence of God in our lives. And as I stand before you this morning, I want God more in my life than I've ever had Him before. I want more of His presence. I want more of His power. Amen. I want to walk closer to Him. Amen. And I want to make some decisions and find the principles in God's Word that leads me closer to Him and not farther away. So, but this morning I want to talk to you simply about new beginnings. And it's some people... January is a depressing month. Statistically speaking, I haven't seen the last few years, but a few years ago, January was the highest month for suicide rates. And I'm the complete opposite. January, to me, is one of the most exciting months of the year because you get to plan everything out. So if you're kind of maybe a little bit goal-oriented or analytical, January seems to be a little bit exciting. You know, you've got your whole year to plan out and get excited about some things. But for a lot of people... the holidays are over, and they go back to being lonely. Other people, credit card bills are coming in the mail. And so that has a major bearing on how they feel emotionally. But if we look into God's Word, God over and over again talks to us about new beginnings, second chances. And so today, I trust that... regardless of the year that you had in 2007, and if it was a good year, say amen.
Amen.
If it was a bad year and it's over, say praise the Lord. It's over either way, right? So in Exodus 12 and 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, the month shall be unto you the beginning. Somebody say the beginning. The beginning of months. Philippians chapter number 3, if there's anyone that knew how to start over or to have a second chance, it was the writer that we know as the Apostle Paul. If anybody knew about new beginnings, it was this man. The man that was haunted till he died with the past of his sins and failures. That when you read the writings of Paul, and I'm trying to keep you standing a little bit because you were sluggish, so you had a lot of blood flow right now and oxygen, so, because once you, I read one preacher whose sermon today, his wife is a school teacher, and so his New Year's sermon was going to be on classroom rules for the new year in my sanctuary, and one of the rules was no sleeping. Man, some of you'd get kicked out of class if I'd... And so the Apostle Paul, new beginnings, starting over. And in Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Before you're seated this morning, how many of you have thought about this coming year, what you want from God? How many of you thought 30 seconds or more about it? In just a moment, as we close this service in prayer in 15 or 20 minutes, that's all I need to share with you this morning. We're going to come to the altar, and the Bible tells us to ask, to seek, and to knock. I believe God's got a plan for every one of our lives this year. He really does. The year is all, this will be a wonderful year for Jesus Christ to come again. Oh, hallelujah. But if we tarry, I know Joe and Jenna back there saying, at least not till after June 7th, we're getting married. You remember that prayer, right? Lord, you've waited 2,000 years. Wait, 6 more months isn't going to hurt anybody, Jesus. No, don't act like you didn't pray it. I prayed it. So, then I changed my prayer after I got married, but that's later on in the year. New beginnings. My prayer was, I wish I would have done this earlier, Lord. Good save, right? Too late. New beginnings. But really, this whole year is laid out for you. God wants to bless His children. He delights in blessing His people. What do you want out of this year? As a Christian, as a parent, and as a member of this church, what do we want? Let's pray. Father, we love you today. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace that is new every morning. Thank you for the hope that we have of a new beginning. Father, if last year was the best year of our lives, you're still going to do greater things. You're still going to take us to higher planes in you. And Lord, if last year was not a year that we were pleased with, then we can start over, Lord, and have a new beginning. And Father, we just ask you to bless us today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you as you're seated this morning. What do you want for God to do you for you this year in your family and in your life and in your church? The writer tells the Israelites that this month is the new beginning. This is the month of new beginnings. And so Paul writes, and I believe he gives to us an exemplary pattern of showing how we could have a new beginning in the Lord. That if last year was the best year of your life, and you don't think it could get any better, then you don't know God. Because God is always going to have better things in store for us. He always has higher heights in God and greater things and more joy. Just like at the wedding of Cana of Galilee, saving the best for last. That is the way with the Lord. And so that's why the writer said it gets sweeter as the days go by. And so if last year was the best year of your life, good news, God still has better things in store. If you look back at last year and you say, there were some things that I failed God. There were some things that I wanted to do better, but I just got off track somewhere. Well, today is a brand new year, a new beginning. So what did Paul do? Well, number one, Philippians 3:10, he begins to focus on Jesus, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. So if we want a new beginning, the first thing we have to do is focus on Jesus. A lot of people try to put the pieces to the puzzle. They try to work everything out and they're not happy with this situation or that part of their life. And so they'll try to work it out themselves. But friend, it will never ever be just like you want it to be without Jesus. And so Paul said that I may know him. Paul was haunted by his past and some mistakes that he made, and we'll look at those in just a moment. But Paul never looked back so much that he forgot to look at Jesus. That he was never even inundated with his success or what God was doing through him and the blessings of God, that he forgot about Jesus. So whether it be success or failure in your life, whether it be the top of the mountain or the bottom of the valley, never look at your circumstances so much that you forget to look at Jesus. That he is the beginning and of our new beginnings this year and in our life. That you and I today could make a resolution in our heart that I may know him. That this year you're going to know him more in his word. That you're going to know him better in his spirit and in your life and the presence and the power of the Lord. Will it be easy? No. Will the devil try to prohibit you from getting closer to God? Yes, the devil, he'll try to hinder. He'll be an accuser of the brethren. Did he not, the Apostle Paul? But if we keep our eyes on Jesus, the devil will remind us and he'll reprimand us for our past failures. The devil has a wonderful memory for those times that we have failed the Lord. But all of us can be like the Apostle Paul and remember the sins of our life, mistakes and failures that we have made. The devil will make sure that those are brought to us on a regular basis. But when we look at Jesus, what do we remember? He forgives our sins. Amen. If we'll look at Jesus, we can look at him as the Redeemer and the Savior of our life. Ephesians 1:7 says that we have forgiveness in him. 1 John 1:9 says that he is faithful and just to forgive us of how many sins? But to forgive us of all sins. I mean, think about who's standing up preaching this message today, the Apostle Paul, who just a few years before this was murdering the saints of God, who was persecuting the children of God, who watched Stephen be stoned and held his garment and did nothing. But he says, I know that I'm forgiven. I know that I'm redeemed and washed in the blood of Jesus. I dare say that every one of us would go back in our life and there's mistakes and sins and failures that we've made that we would try to fix them and do it over again. But we can never ever go back and change it. But thank God that we can forget the past in the redeeming blood of Jesus. Isaiah 43 says that he blots out our sins, that he forgives our sins, he cleanses our sins, but he also erases our sins, that we are justified, that it's just as if we had never committed the transgression. Thank God that he blots out our sins. And an illustration of this would be when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and the soldiers came in to arrest Jesus. What did Peter do? Peter ripped out his sword and he cut off Malchus's ear. And there is the evidence of losing his temper. I mean, there's Malchus, and the evidence is that he took the sword and in a wrong manner committed a transgression that Jesus was displeased with. But in one forgiving, graceful act, Jesus takes Malchus's ear and he reattaches it and he heals it by the power of God. Just like our sins, that when we've done wrong and we know we've done wrong and there is the evidence, but in one forgiving, graceful act, Jesus can look into our life and put things back together again. And the evidence is eliminated. It's like we never sinned against God. And so today I say, if you need a new beginning, friend, you've got to forget the wrongs and forget the trespasses and forget the sins, because the Lord has removed them. He's passed over them. He's covered them according to Psalms 32. He forgets them according to Hebrews 8. Micah said that he passes over them. Psalmist David
said that he removes our sins. Isaiah said he erases our sins. John said that he forgives and cleanses our sins. And so today, thank God, we can say, let the past stay in the past. And so all of us here today face the future. What will this year be? What will it be? Will it be a year of blessing? Will it be a year of prosperity? Will it be a year of getting closer to God? Will it be another year of struggle? Will it be another year of mountain climbing or camping in the valley? What kind of year will it be? And the decision is ours, because God wants to bless. And God wants to pour out his Spirit upon our lives, that he gives good gifts. I don't want to sound psycho-charismatic or something, but I'm telling you, friend, God wants to bless us. Now, we can forfeit those blessings. We can disqualify ourselves from the blessings, but if we live in obedience to God's word and try to get closer to God, James said that if we'll draw nigh to God, what will God do? God will draw nigh to us. So somebody that says, well, I don't feel God in my life like I want to, or I'm not where I need to be with God. Well, don't sit there and do nothing about it. Try to draw closer to God. And on the authority of God's word said that he would draw closer to us. But he's not a God that holds us at a distance. But he's not a God that does not want to be involved in taking care of the affairs of our life. But rather, he's a God that cherishes us. He's a God that wants to pull us closer. He's a God that would love for every one of us today to purpose this year, I want to be closer to God than I've ever been before. I'm saying, God, let that be the prayer of our life today. As we face this year, Isaiah 43 says that God loves to do a new thing. Jeremiah 29, I quoted earlier, that if we seek God with our whole heart, what happens? God plays hide and seek. Does God play hide and seek with us? That if you seek me with your whole heart, you might find me. That you might find me, then I'm going to leave you. No, ye shall find me. How many would like to find God this year? Hosea 6:3 says that we've got to press on to know the Lord. That we've got to apply the initiative. That we've got to seek God. That we've got to ask God. That we've got to knock and incessantly ask God to get closer to him. 2 Peter 3 says God wants us to draw closer to him. Matter of fact, the Bible says, well done, thou good and faithful. Well done. I told the class this morning, Brother Ronald taught about having the truth of God, and I asked them, how many mirrors do you have in God's or in your house? How many mirrors do you have in your house? How many of you have a mirror in your bedroom? Brother Bob's the only one. Wow. You vain thing. How many have a mirror in your bathroom? How many of you looked in the mirror before you came to church today? I can tell those that didn't raise your hand. You didn't have to tell me. Why do we look in the mirror? Because the mirror reveals, and the mirror does not lie. We trust the mirror. Matter of fact, some of you probably have a hard time walking by a mirror without looking in it. Right? Well, what did James say? Don't be a hearer of God's word, but be a doer of God's word. So somebody that only hears God's word but never acts out God's word or does God's word is the same as a man that looks in a mirror, that beholds himself, but walks away from the mirror, forgetting what manner of man that he was. That when you look in the mirror and the mirror says, it's time to comb your hair, and you just walk away and forget about it. Or it would help if you would Better not ruin this. I got a bunch of ideas going through my head. I just need to fast forward real quick. It's the same thing with God. When we look in God's word tells us he wants to bless us. He wants us to grow in grace. He wants to give the children the good gifts of men. He wants to bless us. He doesn't want us to walk in a depression and doubt and despair. He doesn't want us to live without the power of God and the joy of God and the peace of God. He doesn't want his children to be walking around worried and perplexed and full of anxiety. That's why he said, be careful for nothing. That's why he said, cast your cares on me. That's why he tells us that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. My friends, sometimes we live below where God wants us to live. I'm just asking you on this Sunday morning, as we start out another year, wouldn't you love to throw your hands toward heaven and say, God, I want everything you want out of my life. I want your joy. I want your peace. I want your power. And the areas that I've struggled in, the areas of inadequacy, the areas of inconsistency, God, I'm tired of struggling in those areas. And this year, I proclaim God will be a year of liberty, a year of victory for me, a year of deliverance, God, not because I'm working it out myself, but your word promised that if I draw close to you, you'll draw close to me. That your word promised that you delight. Your word promised that your thoughts are good toward us. So here he is. God's ready to bless us. Would you agree with that? Say amen. Here he is. He wants to bless. Three questions you need to ask yourself right now. How do you want God to bless you as a parent, if you're a parent? How do you want God to bless you as a child of God? What do you want God to do in your heart? What do you want God to do in your heart this year? What do you want God to do in your home? And what do you want God to do in this church? Those three things right now. What do you think God's wanting to do in your home, in your heart, and in this church? He's waiting on us. Draw nigh to God. It's new beginnings. We can't live in the past, no matter if it was a year of failure, it's over. If it was a year of success, it's over. Don't make a monument out of the past. And don't make a crutch out of it either. Here we are facing a brand new year. What do you want God to do in your heart? Are you answering that question in your mind right now? You say, it's just another year. It's just another year. You know what the number 8 is in the Bible? The year of 8 is, the number 8 is new beginnings. It's 2008. What do you want God to do in your heart? Are you thinking about the answer? What are you going to pray for when we come to this altar in a few minutes? What do you want God to do in your heart? What do you want God to do in your home, your marriage, your children? We've got some goals for our children this year. What do you want God to do in your home, in your marriage? Can you fill in that blank? What do you want God to do? Number 3, what do you want God to do in this church? Well, just keep the lights on. Well, I was thinking something a little bit better than that. Let's have some chili suppers. Well, I was thinking a little bit more than that. I'd love to see a revival, wouldn't you? I'm going to ask you to stand with me right now. In just a moment, we're going to answer those three questions. New beginnings. Forgetting those things which are behind, forget the past. Paul said that I may know him. Later on he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Focus on Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind, forget. Paul said, I press toward the mark. See, nobody's making him do it. Nobody's making him. Nobody can make you come out of that seat and answer this question. Nobody can make you be faithful to church. Nobody can drive you to God and say, man, God wants to bless you. It's got to be in your heart right now. It's got to be something you want to go after. And so Paul said, I press toward the mark where he faced the future. I challenge you, friend, right now, don't let it just be a year of half-heartedness. Don't just try to ride the curves. Just don't take it as it comes and que sera, sera, whatever will be, God's wanting to bless. God's wanting to give you liberty and victory and deliverance and joy. So what do you want God to do? In your heart, do you have that answer? What are you wanting God to do in your home? Do you have that answer? What about this church? I'm wanting God to do some things, aren't you? Would you just lift your hands toward heaven right now?